Hey guys, we're getting ready to start a new week off. It's Monday, and I got some news for you. First, let's start with Local Comic Shop Day. If you're not sure what that is, let me tell you. November 17th, participating comic book stores will be offering exclusive limited titles to different comic books from pretty much all the publishers. Some of them have already released what's going to be available. DC Comics will have a hardcover Brave and Bold Batman and Wonder Woman Local Comic Shop Day edition. This thing is going to collect the entire six-issue miniseries, 152 pages, give or take. It's going to be about $25. It should not be available until November 17th. Stores are not supposed to sell these early. So, Local Comic Shop Day, November 17th, you can pick up that hardcover Brave and the Bold Batman and Wonder Woman. DC also has Green Lantern number 1 Local Comic Shop Day edition. This is the new Grant Morrison written Green Lantern. This is just a regular comic book. It's not a hardcover. It's going to be $4.99, about 40 pages, so it's a little thicker than a normal comic book. You're getting some extra pages there for your money. We also have other publishers, like I said, for Local Comic Shop Day that will have special comics available. Let me give you a little rundown here. Bleeding Cool, let's see. Image Comics is going to issue a Gideon Falls hardcover for that day. Dark Horse is going to have an exclusive Alien 3, the unproduced screenplay. William Gibson's unproduced screenplay. I already told you about the DC Comics. Marvel is stepping it up. They're going to have a limited edition Marvel Knights 20th number 1. Limited to 500 copies worldwide. Only 500 of these things are going to be made. If you can get your hands on one of those, you might want to show up to the comic shops early, and because I'm sure these things will go pretty quick. They're also going to have Uncanny X-Men number 1 for Marvel. Titan Comics is going to have, and get this, a 14 cover set of Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor number 1. 14 covers. They're going to be selling it as a set. So if you're big into Doctor Who and you like the idea of this new Doctor coming out, the first female Doctor, you might want to pick up this set. Let's see here. We also have, from Image Comics, a foil cover version of Blackbird number 1 by Sam Humphries and Jim Bartel. This is also going to be limited. 500 copies worldwide. 500 seems to be a popular number. When you consider there's over 500 comic shops in the U.S., these will probably be allocated, so your comic shop might not get them. They're going to have to be lucky to get one of these. And if they do, it's going to go quick. So don't sleep on these 500-issue limited edition comic books. Let's see. We also have, I told you about that one already, the Doctor Who. I'm looking at some of the covers. You know, they have the photo covers, and there's so many. With 14 different covers, there's a few variants. So Local Comic Shop Day, November 17th. Get to your local comic shop. You can probably go online and see all next week or so. You'll probably see all the covers and comics that will be available for Local Comic Shop Day. Go get in line and hope that your store gets some of these very limited 500 issue comics. Let's jump tracks here. Go to wrestling. We got WWE. Brock Lesnar made a return in the Hell in a Cell main event. Let me check this chat here. Boy Toy. I wish we had a comic shop where I'm from. I only read digitally. In Local Comic Shop Days, probably not going to help you unless you find a place that ships to you. And if they would ship the Local Comic Shop Day stuff, it's probably going to be after the event and whatever's left over. So sorry about that, Boy Toy, that you don't have a comic shop near you. The only thing I can say is try online to see places, you know, some of the bigger places might ship to you. Okay, back to WWE. Like I was saying, Brock Lesnar, he's back. He made a big appearance in the Hell in a Cell main event. I mean, he kicked down the door and walked in and whooped a few people and left. And what people are complaining about is how the match ended. it ended with no clear winner. They just both the people in the cage were, I guess, for bad luck, they were knocked out. They were unable to get up and continue, pin the other guy. So they kind of just ended the match right there. And let's see exactly how they said it. Pay-per-view quickly went off the air. Before viewing, audiences could hear the crowd's chants of bullshit. They wanted to see a winner, and WWE did not give them one. Wow. Yeah, I'm guessing WWE is building up to something. They like to build the drama to keep people interested. So I'm sure they got something planned. Okay, some bittersweet news for you guys. How to Train Your Dragon. Very popular movies and even a couple TV series. They are going to be saying goodbye after this next movie. The way I understand it is no more movies and no more TV series with How to Train Your Dragon. That, I guess, are, you know, there's something to be said about going out on top. They are a pretty good box office draw. They do, their TV shows do well. They're entertaining. Even the TV shows were just as entertaining as the movie, which doesn't happen often. They will be showing the newest movie, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, on March 1st, 2019. If you paid attention to the trailers, you heard Hiccup say, "There used to be dragons when I was a boy." Well, what does that mean? Are the dragons going somewhere? Maybe this hidden world, they're going to go back to this hidden world to be safe from people trying to, because there's always somebody trying to enslave them or kill them, or the dragons are a misunderstood race. So can't wait till March 1st, 2019. We can say our goodbyes to Toothless and all the other dragons. And no more How to Train Your Dragon. I know, don't cry. Let's see, Boy Toy. We still waiting for the Captain Marvel teaser tomorrow. Yep. Yes, we are, Boy Toy. Captain Marvel is looking really good. She is, you've seen she's going to be part of the Kree-Skrull War. Obviously, she's part of, I believe it was Star Force for the Kree. They kind of, the Kree, if you don't know, they like to experiment with humans, and that's how they invented the Inhumans. She is a very powerful character, and a lot of people are betting that she's going to be the one that comes back and puts the smackdown on Thanos. We'll see. Okay, the Primetime Emmy Awards, 70th annual Emmys. I believe that comes out tonight. Yeah, tonight. Let's see, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. This, I'm getting more interested in this. I'm starting to watch more of the, there's a lot better TV shows out now, I believe. I want to see Game of Thrones and Westworld, how well they do, along with other newcomer shows like Glow. Glow was a big surprise, seasons 1 and 2. So if you're going to watch the Emmys like I am tonight, you know what time. 6 p.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. Pacific. That's the red carpet start time. So if you want to see all the celebrities come through on the red carpet, you got to watch a little earlier. Order a pizza, a six-pack of beer, and watch the Emmys. And watch Westworld and Game of Thrones battle it out for the most awards. Let's jump over to comics now. We have Batman number 55, the old double nickel. They are bringing back a very, one of my favorite Batman villains, KG Beast. KG Beast is, he is probably one of the only ones who came close to outmaneuvering Batman. In fact, he did outmaneuver him a little bit, a few times. KG Beast has, he's not gone away. I mean, he's been in a lot of episodes of Arrow, especially the earlier ones. Anatoly Niazev. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Yeah, KG Beast was an Arrow. He was, if you were paying attention, he was also in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Yeah, I don't know if you guys caught that name drop when Lex Luthor had Lois Lane and Martha Kent kidnapped. Yeah, that was Anatoly and his guys, the KG Beast. So they have been using him here and there. He's not been central since 10 Nights of the Beast. You know, supposedly they left it kind of up in the air. It was alluded that Batman had left him trapped in a room down in the sewers of Gotham to die, but then they kind of went back later and retconned it a little bit, and, you know, Batman said, oh, well, he had called the police to come and pick him up. Don't believe that, because the main reason he didn't want to turn him in the first place is he knew that he would be returned to Russia and that nothing would happen to him. He would just walk free. So I'm not buying. They just didn't want Batman to look like a crazy murderer, leaving the guy there to just, you know, whittle away and die. I'm not buying it. That was a bad retcon. Anyway, he's out. Anatoly did get out. He is coming back to Gotham. They have a few preview pages here, and he's coming back into the U.S. to the Gotham, of course, under a fake passport. You kind of know it's him when you see, you know, the face. It looks a little familiar, but then you see his hook arm. If you remember right, in 10 Nights of the Beast, he was about to escape, and Batman used the rope, his bat lasso, whatever you want to call it, caught him around the arm and was, you know, had him caught hanging off the side of a building. Instead of being caught, KG Beast grabbed an axe and cut his arm off. So now he has a he had a cybernetic arm, now it's just a hook. He's back in Gotham, I'm assuming to wreak a little havoc on Batman, maybe some revenge, or maybe he just got hired to do something in Gotham. We will find out. Like I said, KG Beast, if you get a chance to the DC streaming service, you can probably go back and read 10 Nights of the Beast if you don't want to go out and buy the singles. I'm sure it's out in trade paperback. Great story, great character. Do a little, but even if you just go on Wikipedia and read about KG Beast, at least you'll have a little background on him before his big appearance in Batman number 55. We have a world record here. Yeah, Marvel Comics is in the world records again. For most Spider-Man fans gathered at one, most people dressed as Spider-Man gathered in one location. They did this at a Comic-Con in Stockholm. They got a total of 547 people dressed up as Spider-Man. And looking at the picture, it's nothing but a sea of red and blue in this room. It's crazy. I'm not sure. Maybe these costumes were provided by Marvel or by the con, because every one of the costumes is the exact same. It's all the same design. So I've got to imagine they probably provided that just so they could beat that world record. I'm okay with that. They got the record. 547 dudes dressed as, well, I shouldn't say dudes, men and women, kids, people, dressed as Spider-Man, all at the Stockholm Comic-Con. That is crazy. Let's see if DC, since these guys copy each other so much, let's see if DC tries to do this now with Batman's 80th anniversary this year. Maybe we can get a ton of people dressed up as Batman all in one place. Guinness rule book. Okay, still in comics. Speaking of Spider-Man, let's talk a little bit about Venom. Symbiote of War. There may be some spoilers in here for Venom number 6. I've been telling you guys, you know, Venom, they've been retconning him a little bit. They're saying that symbol is not a spider symbol on his chest. It's actually a dragon. He's able to sprout wings and fly around. He's just becoming even deadlier. You're finding a little bit more about his background. He's not the first symbiote to hit the U.S. or to hit Earth. There were some more that I guess S.H.I.E.L.D. used as a strike force in Vietnam. One of those, Rex Strickland, was an ex-S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. He had one of the symbiotes. You find out all those symbiotes would merge together to form a huge dragon. I believe it was Grendel was the name. these symbiotes were bred and are invented by this god named Gnoll, who is now coming around. He wants to collect them all back because he was using them to do his bidding, to fight his wars. The Rex Strickland dude died, but the symbiote maintained the appearance of that Rex Strickland. Meets up with Venom. Venom convinces him to merge with him. So now Venom has, you know, all his experience and thoughts of him and Eddie Brock and all the other guys who he has been a symbiote with. But he's also got all the merged thoughts and memories from Rex Strickland and that symbiote. And he is, I mean, being an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was well trained in tactics and weapons, and he's using that for his new appearance. And he's got guns everywhere, grenades. He's just maxed out. Imagine if Rob Liefeld drew Venom. Just gratuitous guns and pouches and knives and grenades. He's just a walking arsenal. This all is just part of him now. He's trying to stop these other symbiotes, the other Grendel symbiotes, from merging and flying back out to Clintar to come reunite with Gnoll. This has been an interesting series. The whole fact that they use symbiotes during the Vietnam War and other conflicts, I'm kind of interested in that. I think it's really cool. We'll see how it goes with him merging with the Rex Strickland symbiote on September 19th, which is this comic book day coming up, Wednesday. It's just Venom. I like getting a little more backstory, a little more explanation of the mythos of Venom, of any character really. So the more I learn about Venom, the more I'm really liking him. So September 19th, this Wednesday, pick up Venom number 6, and you can see what I'm talking about with this crazy, over-weaponized version of Venom. Let's see, Boy Toy. Just like they copied each other in Batman Wedding, now it should have been an Alicia Wedding. True Boy Toy, but they also teased a Kitty and Colossus wedding before that. Kitty and Colossus did not get married. Two other characters did, Rogue and Gambit. And now they're a couple and on their honeymoon, and you can read Mr. and Mrs. X, a title with those two dealing with all the stuff they're going through during their... They haven't really got a proper honeymoon because they got sent on a mission right in the middle of it. So yeah, they do tend to copy each other quite a bit. One of them has a good idea, the other wants to follow. Star Trek Discovery. I believe that's still exclusive to the CBS streaming service. I'm going to wait till it comes out, if it ever does come out on Netflix. If not, I guess I'll just buy the season on Blu-ray and watch it. Rainn Wilson is coming back. The Harry Mudd character, the vagabond, smuggler, swindler, whatever you want to call him, he's coming back to Star Trek Discovery on season 2. If you don't know Harry Mudd, he was actually on the original Star Trek series way back in the 60s. He was they described him as an interstellar grifter. He was one of those guys, anything to make a buck. He tried to marry rich so he didn't have to work. He ran a whole bunch of scams, and Rainn Wilson is season 1 did a pretty good job of playing Harry Mudd. I'm glad they're bringing him back. I love Rainn Wilson. Glad to see he's got more work. So if you're a Star Trek fan and a Star Trek Discovery fan, just know season 2, you're going to get more Harry Mudd played by Rainn Wilson. Last article I have for y'all today, Supergirl. As you know, she has Rogelzar's axe. Rogelzar, they kind of hinted that he is the one who came and it wasn't a natural disaster that destroyed Krypton. They're saying it was Rogelzar, that he just has this thing against Kryptonians. He wants to kill them all. She's going to investigate this, you know, to find out if that's true. So she grabs the axe and jumps on a ship. She's going to go talk to the Green Lanterns and dig through their archives to see if they have anything in their history. While they're flying through space, the axe just freaked out, activated, and it destroyed the whole ship. This axe has got some very weird mystical powers. Like I said, it has that symbol on it that nobody can decipher. We know it's a strong weapon because it can pierce Superman's skin. There's not too many things that can do that. And we find out in this newest issue of Supergirl, this it also can change shape. She's going to talk to the Green Lanterns to find out what she can about what happened to Krypton, the true story behind it, and maybe a little more about that axe. It changes shape right there in her hand from an axe, from this monstrous axe to this smaller looking hammer. So there's a this weapon does a lot of it's very strong. It does a lot of stuff that nobody's aware of. They haven't introduced all of its abilities yet, I'm sure. And it gathers energy. So, I mean, it's a very mysterious weapon. This is even more mysterious than Rogel Czar himself. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this weapon. Is she going to keep it and use it? She doesn't really need it. She's Supergirl. Or are they going to gift this weapon to another superhero? I'm not sure. Interesting. Anyway, Supergirl, number 22. Pick that up, and you're going to see a lot more about Rogel Czar's weapon, the big axe when he's holding it. I guess it can change to whatever the wielder wants it to be. Maybe we'll find out more about what this thing is and what that symbol means on it. Okay, like I said, that is the last article I have for you guys. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Like this video, leave a comment. If you're more into podcasts, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Download and listen to us. Give us a good rating. I will see all you guys tomorrow. Later, nerds.